take that. All right, Mr. Cunningham, sir, if you would. Pastor Mike, my knee doesn't want to work right tonight. Don't know what's going on. But Pastor Mike had this idea, and when he shared it with me, I said, that's a great idea. And so this is yours, sir. Yeah. It's on. All you got. Just me. So we're going to have our time together. And if you can't hear when we get started, just make sure that you raise your hand. So we'll make sure. My wife says, when you bend down, she's not liking this when I say this. I blamed her. What we said today at Adam and Eve, he threw her under the bus. So she says, when I lean down, I speak too soft sometimes. When I first came to this church, everybody said, oh, this is wonderful. He's loud. But I've gotten soft in my old age. Anyway, have a seat, sir. I want to read a scripture, and before we get started, because it really tells us why we're doing this, because it's amazing to see God work, and that's what this is all about. It's about what God is doing in hearts and lives, and why we should be continually pressing on. Loving him, serving him, talking about him, because there are Paul Cunninghams out there that need to hear the gospel. He says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I thought it'd be good to have Paul say this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. And so, you know, we're estranged from God until he confronts us. And when we surrender our life to him, he moves in. And we don't really understand all that takes place when he moves in. But after a while, it's evident something's different. So we're excited today to have Brother Paul Cunningham. We love him so much. He has been one of my dear friends, and I love him dearly. We like to be together. We like the same things, and we'll talk about some of those things, like fishing maybe. I don't know. So we're going to just have him share his life, and we're just going to carry on this conversation. You can listen in. We've had this conversation before, and it blesses my heart every time. So anyway, I think we need to start at the very beginning, which is, and I can't even remember, but I think I've got an idea, where you were born, what life was like growing up, and how you came to be in Grants Pass, whatever. Share those things. You got to hold it right up to your mouth.
I grew up, or was born and raised in Eastern Kentucky.
Okay, going to have to turn him up. Okay. Okay, hold it right to your mouth. Yeah, there you go.
In Eastern Kentucky on the border of West Virginia and Virginia, in heart of coal mining country. Pretty rough life. I'd say a godless place.
Yeah.
Which is true. Is that. And I, didn't really, did a lot of things that really I wasn't too proud of.
So you were, at what age?
I left there when I was 17.
Okay, so you were in West Virginia till you're 17 years old. Okay, so what took place after? So your folks, nobody went to church or anything like that.
My mother did.
Your mother did.
Yeah, she used to get on me, but that was, I didn't think much about it. So I joined the Navy and I spent 6 years in the Navy.
What year did you join the Navy?
What?
What year did you join the Navy?
1957.
1957.
Yeah.
So you were involved in Vietnam?
Vietnam. I operated in mostly all of Southeast Asia and all those countries in there I was involved in.
Okay.
I was.
Everybody hear him all right? Or you need, okay. We just hold it a little closer, yeah.
So I was Naval Intelligence for that 6 years and that. And so.
That was a tough time.
I led a rough life, okay?
Yeah. I know you can't tell, you don't want to tell too much about it, but there was a group of you guys, about 10 guys, right?
Yeah.
In the special operations.
For 16 months, we were in Vietnam.
In Vietnam.
This was... Over those 16 months, I lost all 9 guys.
So he saw 9 guys. So there's 10 of them in this operation, special operation. And they recruited them for this very special thing. And so he saw 9 of his buddies, the other 9. He's the only one that came back alive. So, yeah. So where were you stationed when you got back?
Well, I did my separation in San Francisco and left there and went back into the hills to where I come from and spent some time there and then went off to Chicago and went to work and did a lot of different things there that I got into communications and with the General Tell, and then I got with Bell System when I come out here. So basically, even after Margaret and I got married, I traveled all over the country and did a lot of things, you know. And
with the communications?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with electronics communications.
So if you've ever been around with Paul when we're like going to lunch or anything, he knows everybody. Everybody walks in, hey, George, hi, you know, and he just knows everybody. He's been everywhere. He knows everybody. It's amazing. Anyway, I'm not really exaggerating either, but anyway.
But anyhow, I got out here, and like I said, Margaret and I got married and had some kids and raised them out in Hugo and then back in town, and so... Oh, and I knew Don Bird for a number of years.
Who's and Don Bird?
He was a barber that was our barber.
Yes.
And Don was one of those people, too, that knew everybody. But anyhow, it was like the first I heard of Grace of Faith Baptist Church was... Old Don asking me to go to the
sportsman's
banquet out here, and I wouldn't do it, you know. And a couple times we were fishing, and he asked me, "Hey, let's go to that banquet." And I don't know. I finally said to him, "I said, Don, I says I'm not going to that banquet. I says, you know, I'm not a member of that church, and I'm not even a Christian, you know." And he says, "Hey," he says, "you know, that ain't nothing." He says. Them, you and I, we're the kind of people that those guys are looking for.
So let me stop you right there. I'm not sure what slides up there, but let me stop you right there. So at this time, it's pretty obvious what your feelings were about religion, about the Bible.
It was pretty negative. I mean, you know, I respected religion, and I respected people that... were Christians. I wasn't, you know, I was respectful of their feelings, but for me, it wasn't for me at that time.
And the thing about it is, Don Bird, he never came to church. He just came to that banquet.
That's right. That's right. I, so, Finally, when Don passed away, I came out here to his funeral.
Funeral was here.
Yeah. And during that funeral, actually, this place was absolutely packed. There was people standing along the walls in back. And every seat was just about taken. And there was kids that, I'm saying, anywhere from probably 6 to 15 that got up and talked and said Don was their buddy and
yeah.
What they thought of him.
He cut their hair.
And that kind of hit me in a way, or it seemed to at the time. But during that service, to me, there was a feeling in there. Seemed to me like there was a presence. You know.
He just felt like the Lord was here.
No, something was here. I didn't know what was here. Let's okay. Put it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I've felt people watching me and this kind of thing and knew that I was exposed before. This was similar but different. And at that time, over there, I saw myself for what I was. Mm. And it kind of revealed to me how low and how bad I had really been. And for the first time in my life, I felt peace. I don't know if you know what that is, but I mean absolute total peace. And I knew I had no guilt. All the guilt was gone at that time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think, I won't say that I got saved at that time because I don't know. I do know that I left here, and I know that I thought a lot about it, and for about 2 years, I guess it was, that I didn't do anything about it.
So you didn't come back during those 2 years?
During
or
those
did
two
you
years.
Come back once or twice? Or?
No, not then.
No. Okay.
So Margaret's father passed away, and she asked me if I would go to church with her because I'd quit a long time ago going to church with her. And I told her, yeah. And so we started looking at different churches around town and that, and I didn't find any that I was comfortable with. So
can you hear him?
We went out to, her father had left some money to a young man that was from Brazil that was up here going to school and college and was getting a nursing degree or trying to. And so Margaret's dad left him some money for his education. So we took it out to Vineyard Church and to give to Marcos. And while I was there, Pastor Steve Shaw, who was the pastor of the church out there, he shared the gospel with me and talked to me about it. And, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Wait a minute. We did come out here before that, before going to see Steve. I got ahead of myself. I said I'd go to church with her, and we started going to church, and I don't know, one Saturday, she says, where are we going to church tomorrow? And I said, I don't know, we've been to a lot of them. I says, you know, there's one out on the hill out there on Williams Highway. I said, let's go try that. So we came out here and started going to church. And every time I came in here and went to church, it seemed like every sermon he preached, he kicked me in the shins during the whole hour. And so when he would call invitation and talk, and he'd ask if he, somebody wanted him to pray for him, and I'd raise my hand. And so this happened probably 4 or 5 times, probably.
Okay.
And so, I don't know, this one day we went out there and I talked to Steve then.
Another Steve now, okay.
I talked to him and he shared the gospel with me and talked to me. And, you know, nothing still didn't take. I was not acceptable. So we came home 2 hours later. I get a phone call and it says, "Hey, Paul, this is Steve." He said, "Can we come stop by the house?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, Steve, come on by." And so I opened the door, and here this guy stands. And I was thinking Steve Shaw. I thought he wanted something to talk to me about what we'd been out there. So I thought it was the other pastor, Steve, and it was this guy standing there.
And Marcy. Yeah.
So he came in, and we sat around, and we visited in that little bill. And we hadn't talked too much about Christ or salvation or this or that. I think we touched on it a little bit. But then he kind of stood up and he looked at me and he said, "You know," he says, "you've been raising your hand back there and asking me to pray for you." He says, "Are you ready to get up off your seat and accept Christ?" And I said, "Yes, I am." It was just that way. And so we sat there and prayed and talked to God.
Yeah.
And I accepted Christ, and it was the greatest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. I know when something like that happens, you know, you leave 6 feet off the ground, you can't hardly get in your car because but I'll tell you, as great as that is to see somebody come to know Christ, is to see what God does in their life afterwards. I mean, it's amazing to watch people grow. And God began growing. So I'm going to ask him, I don't know if you've got the slide there, but I want you to share a little bit about the transformation, because it was taking place. You didn't try to be different. You just were different, and people noticed it. I mean, your family. How about your family and friends or whatever? Yeah. Share that with us.
I don't know. My son asked my wife. He would come home, and he asked my wife Margaret. He says, "Mom," he says, "who is this guy?" He said, "He ain't the dad that I knew." He said, he's not the dad I knew. And she laughed. She told him.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't told him, you know. And he just, you know, he didn't think. He didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people, I don't know. You know, it's, they talk about people shunning you and what have you when you get that way. I mean, you accept Christ and you know, it changes you. And yet, you know, all the guys I worked with, they all still accept me just like they always did. It's the first time I went ahead and said grace when we were having a lunch or something afterwards. The first time they kind of looked at me. But after that, they all quit and wait. Like I said, they respect it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but as far as them accepting me, it hasn't changed. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it just depends on how how it works out, you know, sometimes the friends will, you know, acknowledge that, wow, something's different in his life, and maybe it's not for me, but I'm glad for him. But it doesn't always work out that way, just different every situation. Did Tom, was he a part of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're, did he work with you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were partners for a while.
Okay. Yeah. So you're working with your guys, the Bell telephone?
Telephone, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, and you're, so you've been saved. So how long?
No, I wasn't working then.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This was all, I was retired, and all these guys are retired, too.
Yeah, okay, so you guys were just getting together, and, okay.
So, I don't know, Tom and I had, I don't know who said, let's go have breakfast, but we had breakfast one morning at the Tap Rock, and I don't know, Tom said to me, I don't know, maybe he was hurting or whatever, I don't know. But he said, you know, he said, Blackie, he says.
Blackie is what they used to call him. Everybody called him Blackie, just so you know. It's like Paul. Saul of Tarsus became Paul. Blackie became Paul. The Apostle Cunningham.
Okay. But anyhow, he
and
said.
He said,
that's what he said. He said, Blackie, he says, you know, what happened to you? How come you you went out there and you say you're a Christian now. And I says, well, I said, if you want to know, I'll tell you. And I said, we sat there and I talked to him and I told him the whole deal about what happened. And he looked there and he said, you know, we were talking and he said, you know, he says, I went to church camp once when I was a kid. And he says, I said I got saved. He said, but really I wasn't. And I said, he said, but, he says, I don't know. He says, on it. And I said, Tom, I says, all you've got to do is ask God to forgive you. And tell him that you believe in his son, Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God, and that you want him to come into your life, and you live for him. And he said, I said, that's all you got to do. It's not that hard. Now, he didn't say anything. We went ahead and talked on other things and what have you. And he didn't say it. We didn't say anymore. He didn't, you know, right then accept Christ. So after that, when Margaret's funeral here.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah.
We were back in the fellowship hall, and this was what? Probably a good 2 or 3 years later.
Okay.
And he came up to me and he said.
At the funeral. He came up to you at the funeral.
Back in the fellowship hall. And he said, Blackie, he says, come over here. And I went over and sat down with him. He says, I want to thank you, he said, for sharing the gospel with me. He said, from that, I got saved. And he said, and then I was able to share Christ with my sister before she passed away. And he says, I have you to thank for that. And it tore me up.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, I had not talked to him since then, at that time, up to then. And so it really, I don't know. You don't know what people, what you run into when you talk to people. You really don't know what's going to happen.
So when you, if you think about what he said he shared with Blackie, just a brief, he told him his testimony and then said, Blackie, all you got to do, you just, if you ask God to forgive you. So not a long presentation, but sowing the seed. We've talked about it for years and years and years. And we say you never know what God is doing. And not only that, the thing that really spoke to my heart is when he said he led his sister to Christ before she died. Man, so that's just amazing.
Yeah. And going back to Don Byrd, it was probably 4 months later after Byrd had passed away in the funeral here, that I was going up with Larry Buffingham.
Oh, yeah, Larry Buckingham, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was Terrell Blaylock and I were up there. And I don't know, we were talking back and forth in this, and this was before I got saved, because we were taking Byrd's ashes up near Crater Lake to bury him up on the mountain. And Terrell told me that he shared the Christ, you know, salvation with Don before he passed away, and that he had accepted Christ.
Yeah.
But that was...
You know, I remember that now, yeah, because Terrell was the one who really... I just assisted him. He conducted the funeral.
Yeah.
And then I wish I had known, because I had gone by and talked to Don, but Terrell actually led him to Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Terrell been a Christian for a number of years. He went out to the Redwood Church out there where the highways come back together.
Yeah.
That's where he always went to church. So that was... You know, the thing, I didn't really know that Terrell had done that.
Yeah.
Until he...
I didn't either. I didn't either, yeah, until the funeral.
Yeah.
So I was really thrilled.
So at the funeral, he didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it came about with us riding in the truck going up there, but that was... It came up, and that was what he told me and Buckingham and Larry on it.
So it's been, so how many years ago has it been?
That was 2007.
2007.
Yeah.
Man, time has gone by fast. We're having a great time. So would you say your life has changed 180 degrees?
Yeah. Yes, it has.
Yeah. And like I said this morning, if people would have told you back then you were going to be a deacon in a Baptist church, you would have...
yes, yeah. I would have laughed.
It's wonderful. Wonderful to be saved. I know Margaret was thrilled, and you guys had a wonderful time, especially when you started sharing Christ together, and you took the spiritual lead.
Mm-hmm.
And so... All we can do is just sit here and praise God, because he's the one that does it all, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the power of just sharing, it's not even quoting scripture, just sharing Christ's story, the gospel, what the gospel did in my life, just sharing that, how that blossoms in another life and just goes on down the road and you don't know what's happening.
It's funny. I mean, I say funny because I'll be honest with you, a lot of this that happened, I laughed at, because it was funny that it was happening. It was just, you go, huh? I mean, I think back on it, and all I can do is laugh, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who
something would take place, and you think, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Yeah, who would have thought that I'd run into two Steves the same day, two pastors? And I guess I look at it from the point of view that I guess I was going to get saved that day, even if he had to bring somebody else.
Well, it's obvious that God was working in your life, and he arranged the other Steve and this Steve and, and had it all set up. I mean, I had no idea you'd talk to him. Yeah. I just knew you'd come to church and raise your hand. Mm-hmm. And I told Marcy, I said, we need to go by and see him. So I gave you a call, not knowing that Steve had called you.
Yeah.
Or you'd been out there and talked to him for a couple hours. Did Margaret go with you you went out?
She was the one that really was from her.
Okay.
Through her, it was from her dad through her.
Yeah, that's right.
So okay. It was, that was the whole thing. It was funny. But,
well, a lot of things have changed. Some things haven't changed. You still like to fish and get out and about. He still putters in his shop, does more than putter. He, like some others in this church, are servants at heart. And what does it take to be a deacon? It takes a love for Christ and a servant's heart. That's what it's not about. It's about being the real thing, the real deal. And I appreciate Paul. I appreciate his faithfulness over the years and his genuine love for Christ. And this is what keeps a pastor going. This is what really, and it's not that, because I really don't take credit for leading him to Christ. I didn't say a whole lot. So here's a seed, here's something God is working in all these different situations, and sometimes you get to pick up the phone and you get to be there when good things happen, but not always. But just like I said, we don't know how many times we've shared the gospel with somebody and what they're doing with what we shared. I mean, who knows how God is working in their lives? And so we appreciate you telling us this, because it's the blessing of seeing God change a life and for eternity to come.
And, you know, you have to be biased. You have to be biased. When, you know, I sat over there, and that's where that made me come back to this church. So it holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's with most people. I think it does.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, when you get saved in a place and grow up, you know, have your spiritual beginning and nurturing in a place, it's home. Yeah. That's special, and it'll always be special. And then for us, it's special to us for you to share us this story, because not everybody knows it. But you guys know it now, and